Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
So about 3 weeks ago, there was a pretty major criminal trial that came to a verdict here in Minnesota. The trial was, which we're not really going to get into the trial, it's not relevant to the conversation, but where a police officer, Geronimo Yanez, was acquitted of manslaughter in the shooting death of an African-American motorist, Philando Castile, in a suburb of the Twin Cities, not far from both where I live and where our office is located. And this episode is not about the trial because that's not what we don't do politics here, but there was an aftermath to the trial in addition to just the personal anguish of all the people that were involved. But there was a number of protests that were spawned immediately that led to some pretty significant disruption in the Twin Cities. Now, we should say at the onset of this, these protests were not violent. There were no injuries that I'm aware of. There was no property damage. So it wasn't like a riot, but there was definitely a lot of tension. And the protesters in this case wound up marching on to Interstate 94, which is the major east-west thoroughfare that connect Minneapolis and St. Paul, and it's a major interstate that goes through the whole state. Mm-hmm. And they blocked traffic for about 3.5 hours. Pretty significant traffic disruption while there were a couple of major events going on. So what we want to talk about is not the politics of the trial or the protests, but it's about this idea of protests and how it creates disruptions to business.
Right.
So what gets disrupted here, Jen, when you've got this kind of thing that's going on?
So we came from a company that dealt a lot of times with protest activity. So for various reasons, and I think a lot of it had to do with the proximity to the courthouse that our headquarters was located in. But
we were in an urban environment.
Yes.
And we had a major thoroughfare, a very popular pedestrian thoroughfare that ran in front of the building, and thus we had protests, whether related to us or not.
Yeah, they weren't always related to us. Right. And also, they ran through, we live in Minneapolis, so we have a skyway system, so a lot of the protests go up into the skyway system, and it causes a lot of disruption. So basically, it does a lot of things. One, it disrupts people's ability to get to work, to mm-hmm. and from work, from either their vehicle or mm-hmm. from home, to get into the doors of your building. It causes that issue. It can potentially scare people trying mm-hmm. to get into work. It in general just causes all kinds of disruption while you're trying to do business. So it's a distraction. It's just gets in the way of people doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Minneapolis, as you said, has an extensive skyway system. So what we're talking about here, for those of you that don't know, is there are miles of interconnected buildings in downtown Minneapolis and in St. Paul.
Yeah.
That on the second or third floor of the building, it's connected to the building across the street. And so you can literally, in the middle of winter, in your shirt sleeves, walk out of your building and walk all throughout downtown and never set a foot outside.
Yeah, it's a fantastic system because that's what I did. I would park my car
I'd left my coat in the car.
Exactly. Yeah.
And went to work.
Yeah, exactly.
And so went to lunch.
If we're doing that, the protesters are also doing that.
So. Yes, and that became more prevalent over time, the protesters using the skyways as a method because that's how everybody would get around. It made them more noticeable.
Right. And sometimes, not in this case, but in sometimes there was property damage that would come from these protests, meaning maliciously or not. Sometimes that does mm-hmm. happen as well.
There's a lot of things to learn about protests and how to best protect your company about them, but it really starts with knowing that there's going to be a protest.
Yeah.
And so having that, as we've talked on some previous episodes, but having that radar screen, that ability to see a threat that's coming towards your company is really critical. Monitoring social media, monitoring activist websites and Facebook pages and events can really give you some insight into what's going on.
Right. I would say it was a rarity that a protest popped up that we didn't already know was going to happen.
Right.
We were prepared for it, and right. we were able to communicate with our employees ahead of time that right. it was happening.
Particularly after, it only took one major protest that we didn't know
right.
was coming that did not go well.
Did not.
It wasn't violent. It was a really confrontational scene.
And it disrupted business in a big way.
Big disruption. And that led to some conversation. What do you need to be able to know this is coming? Well, there's some things we need. We need access to some things and we need some tools that we don't have. And we got all of that.
Yes.
And then very some. Quickly. And then we never were surprised again. But the, having the radar screen is important to be able to see those things as they're coming in. But there's also, I think, the network of businesses around you where you're communicating with law enforcement and you're talking to the other businesses in the same geographical area as you so that you can share this information. Minneapolis has a downtown group that does exactly that. There's a common radio frequency between businesses for the security teams and for that law enforcement monitors, and you're able to share that information. So in the case of a protest, we could talk about where the march was at and where it was going, because sometimes they would go to four or five major companies.
They stopped and did their thing and then moved on.
And before they got to where we were at, we would hear, here's what they did. Here was the tactic. Here's who's doing it. Here's how they're probing. Right. But having that networks and sharing information in that way in a, inside of a trusted relationship is critical.
Yep. And it really gave us the ability and the time to plan for that, to understand what we needed to do in that particular situation. So they were coming through the skyways. Sometimes we just shut down the skyway that we had the ability to shut down so that we wouldn't let them go through there.
That's a great point, because one of the things that I was going to bring up is that understanding your premises and where they begin and end and what your legal authority is in whatever jurisdiction you're in is important. In our last employer, the skyway closure became a big issue because the police would not take action on people that were on our property if we asked them to be removed, because in their mind, it was a city space, a public space that we didn't control as long as the skyway entrance was open. So by closing the skyway, we made our space private and we were able to leverage law enforcement.
And boy, did that tick some of the protesters off.
Yeah, they weren't very happy when they found out they couldn't get into our, our lobby anymore of our previous employer.
Yeah, but that was a very effective technique to keep them out and to maintain the business as usual.
We even practiced some physical security drills about how quickly we could secure the entrances, skyway, ground floor, out, you know, out to the street level. How quickly we can lock that down and get a stronger security force at the perimeter to do that.
And then also to know we had, in that particular business, we had multiple locations downtown that that you could have a meeting in one building and then your next meeting is another building. And if you don't know ahead of time that this is going on, you may not be able to get to the other building. So it was that notification system that we started using. Or notification emails, or however you decide to do that. But it's figuring out how can you notify.
How do you give context to what's going on, particularly to your leaders who start asking, "What's this group want outside, and are they protesting us?" And you find out, of course, that they're not. They're protesting your neighbor.
Yeah.
But they came by because you're on the way.
Yeah.
Or they're applying some peer pressure.
Or they're protesting a vendor that we may have working in one of our buildings.
Right.
We have nothing to do with what they're protesting, but they don't know the difference.
Right. One of the things that we would talk about too is as you are aware that the protest is coming in, you know, we talk a lot about how do you push the perimeter out so that you have earlier warning and more space to react if something would happen. So we did a lot around, we may lock off the street level, we might lock off the skyway as you're describing it, but we're sending plain clothed security or intel analysts who've been properly trained.
Yes.
But in plain clothes, they're going out onto the street and they're keeping in radio contact or cell phone contact to tell us what they're seeing. And that was easier and safer and more discreet than putting a uniformed security officer out there or somebody that was obviously from a corporate security team like me out there in a suit is, you know, that's going to stand out.
Right.
But some guy, one of our guys in flannel and jeans and a baseball cap. And Jin's laughing because Jin's laughing because it was always the same guy,
and he loved it,
and he thought it was great. But you're pushing the perimeter out so that you get earlier detection of what's going on.
Well, he could also let us know who they were protesting, what they were protesting, and let us know, hey, these guys are turning violent quickly. Let's lock everything down, or it's not violent at all. They're just walking down, and it'll be fine.
Right.
So let us know that ahead of time, which really was useful.
It's important to understand as these events are happening that the safety of your employees is really, you know, you're trying not to have a disruption to your business, but keeping your employees safe, keeping your team safe is the most important consideration. So understanding that most protests are not violent, they could be scary to be sure, but they're generally not violent. You do want to think about how does your team get home and what's the right path? Is the interstate blocked? Is the exit blocked? These are all things, current protest tactics that one needs to think about.
Right. And what we used to do is we actually had a sort of a notification email that we would send out and we'd send up updates to, and that information would be in there. So mm-hmm. certain roads are blocked or take an alternative route to this parking garage, things like that, we would include in there.
Mm-hmm. It's important to understand that there's a pretty significant reputation component here. Protests gather press. If the protest isn't aimed at you, then your goal is really, in my mind, to stay out of the media by having an appropriate, low-key, professional response that creates no drama and no story. But if you're the target of the protest, there's really no way to avoid the media interaction that comes with that. And I think this is where our old adage of you get one chance to tell the story your way or there's going to be a narrative created for you mm-hmm. comes to play. And our previous employer had a number of situations where we had media intensive situations involving protesters and activists. And it took us a while to get better at that and realize that the 200 people in your lobby that are screaming, you probably need to have somebody go talk with them. You can't just ignore them.
Right.
And you need to share the right story with the media about what the issue is and what your response is going to be.
Yeah, and therein lies a communication plan, a good crisis communication plan, so that you have someone designated to have those conversations, mm-hmm. and you have a plan as to what to communicate when that happens.
Mm-hmm. I think I can think in particular about some petition deliveries that we dealt with around some very emotionally difficult topics where there's got to be more than just accepting the petition.
Yeah.
You have to create a narrative, and hopefully one that's in line with your organization's values that puts you in the best possible light.
Right. I think this can be one of the more difficult parts of it because things obviously get skewed in the media quite a bit. So if you're not communicating clearly, you don't have a plan as to what to communicate, it very easily can be turned mm-hmm. in a direction you had no intention of it getting turned into.
This is a great example of using a crisis management framework to get the right people at the table to have a good collaborative discussion about what that response is going to be and then put those things in motion prior to the protest event.
Yeah. And that goes back to the radar screen, like we started with. If you have it on the radar screen, we know it's happening. A lot of times we would pull these people into a room and have a big discussion about it before it even happened. So everybody knew what they were doing. We had a plan for it.
Mm-hmm. So the key lessons here for protests are have a radar screen so you know what the threats are that are coming your way. Build a good network of nearby businesses. Understand your premises and your legal responsibilities. Where do things begin and end? And what can you do as the owner or as the landlord? Have a good, solid communications plan on how you're going to message, particularly if you're the target of the protest, and push your perimeter out.
And all of this stuff before the protest happens.
That's right. That's the end of this episode of Managing Uncertainty. We'll see you online for the next episode. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.